In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes onto you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him going into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Just before I start speaking, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take the words that I speak and use them to your glory. I pray that you would open all our hearts to what you have to say, that we would be part of building your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, so as Andy mentioned earlier, Thursday just gone was Ascension Day. Now, ascension literally means going up. And that's what is described in the passage that Jeff just read for us. Jesus being taken up to heaven to rejoin his heavenly Father. But just to be clear from the outset, up is certainly how it must have looked to the disciples watching. But we know that heaven is not up there somewhere in the sky. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is a dimension of time and space which we can't yet understand. And I think it's important just to know that we're not talking about some place of clouds just up there. Okay. Now, unlike Ash Wednesday, Pentecost or Good Friday, Ascension Day isn't really a day which attracts a great deal of attention in the Christian calendar. Yet it is an absolutely pivotal moment in the history of God's church. The Ascension was the last of Jesus' physical appearances on earth. And as Luke recounts in Acts, he has appeared many times already to his disciples after being raised from the dead. And these were definitely physical appearances. He was flesh and bone. Thomas could put his fingers in the wounds on Jesus' hands and side. He ate food with his followers, and they were able to touch and hold him. But now, his physical presence with them is coming to an end, and he is returning to the Father from whom he came. And this is the background to all that will follow. Jesus is returning to his rightful place in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And all authority in earth and in heaven has been given to him. The passage that we have just heard opens the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, to give it its full title. And by apostles is meant in these verses the 11 of the remaining 12 whom Jesus had chosen. 11 only now, of course, because the Judas who betrayed him is no longer with them. But Acts of the Apostles is possibly not the right name for this book. I'd like to suggest that it could perhaps be better called the Acts of God through the Apostles. Now, Luke starts off by referring to his former book. And that former book is the Gospel of Luke, in which he writes about Jesus' birth, his life and ministry, his death and resurrection, and which he closes with an account of Jesus' ascension. So, if I can just find the clicker. Here we are. The book of Acts is a sequel. Volume 1 is Luke's Gospel, and Volume 2 is the book of Acts of the Apostles. I wonder if anyone recognises what this is about. Any offers? The Devil Wears Prada 2. That's right. It's a sequel. Last weekend, I used the fact that we had my 14-year-old niece staying with us as a pretext to go and see The Devil Wears Prada 2. Has anyone seen it? Don't bother. It was a bit of a letdown, actually. But some sequels are fantastic. Oh, yes. What is not to love about this undaunted, highly principled bear? And, of course, Hugh Grant camping it up as the arch-villain. Paddington 2 is just as good as the original, and Acts is even more exciting than Paddington 2, although they do both include escapes from jail. Acts has real people in real dilemmas, conflict and resolution, danger and rescue, visions, healings and transformation. These things happen through ordinary people, but they are the acts of God. And I'd also suggest that there's another way in which the book of Acts is like part of a series. And that is because, in a way, it's not finished. I think it looks rather like this. Some of it's been written. Now, you probably thought that Acts ends with verse 31 of chapter 28. And in a way, it does. But like many sequels, the end of Acts suggests that there is more to come. In verse 1 of the passage that we heard this morning, Luke says that he has written about the work that Jesus began to do. Not the work that Jesus did, but the work that Jesus began. And I believe that we are part of the more to come. The book of Acts is still being written, and each of us is contributing a chapter to it. Now, it's no accident that Luke opens the book of Acts by retelling the story of the ascension. It's not simply a quick recap to bring the reader up to speed with the story so far, as often happens in a TV series. In fact, Luke doesn't tell us very much detail about the story so far. He assumes we've read it. The only part which he repeats in detail is the story of the ascension. And it's not word for word repetition. Some parts are left out, others added. But what does appear in both accounts is really key to everything that follows. It's what Jesus tells his disciples is going to happen next. Luke, and you'll find this in chapter 24 of Luke, says that Jesus says, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And in the Acts account, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The two things that Luke repeats are that Jesus' followers are to be his witnesses, and that they will receive power through the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is the story of how once Jesus was no longer physically with his followers, those early disciples sought to fulfill his command to be Jesus' witnesses. And though he was no longer physically present, he hadn't left them on their own. In both accounts of Jesus' last instructions, Luke records not just the command to be witnesses, but also the promise that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And in both accounts, the promise of the Holy Spirit is that it will bring power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit had been promised from the very outset of Jesus' ministry. Right at the very beginning of John's Gospel, John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit who he will send to the disciples from the Father. And in verse 5 of our passage this morning, Jesus has echoed what John the Baptist said. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now I do wonder if Jesus' heart sank a bit when after he had said this, the response of the disciples was to ask, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Were they still thinking that he had come to overthrow the Roman occupation? After all that time and all that had happened and all his teaching about his kingdom not being of this earth, were they still looking for military victory? Or perhaps they had got the idea that the kingdom would be spiritual, but were expecting that Israel would be the most powerful nation under God's rule. Well, Jesus doesn't give them a very direct answer. He tells them, effectively, that it's none of their business. And then he points them back to something much closer to hand, his instruction to be his witnesses. He points us to this instruction too, to add our chapters to the book of Acts as Jesus' witnesses. Our stories of our part in building the kingdom of heaven on earth. How and where do we bear witness? We bear witness wherever we are and whatever we are doing. We are bearing witness right now by taking part in a public act of worship or taking part in this act of worship from home. We will bear witness in the tone and content of the conversations we will have over coffee later. We bear witness in the way we treat our colleagues and speak about our bosses, in the way we relate to our families and friends, and in how we treat other people, especially the unloved and the unpopular. We bear witness in how we spend our time and our money, in seeking to live out good and wholesome values, and in our lifestyles. That is a lot of bearing witness, and it's not easy. In all of it, we need to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. And let us be expectant, too, that the power and authority of God through the Holy Spirit will be at work in extraordinary and miraculous ways, speaking to us, guiding to us, healing and transforming. Now, I've suggested we are each writing a chapter in the book of Acts. I wonder how clear our writing is. Is it legible? Can it be understood as pointing to Jesus? Or is it sometimes a bit of a scrawl? Maybe we feel that some of what we've already written is a bit rubbish, and we haven't made a very good fist of some things so far. And there may be times when we feel we cannot write anything at all, that the page is too dark, and we're just holding on by our fingertips. But even that holding on is a witness. Or maybe we haven't even started writing our own chapter in the book of God's Acts through his people, because we've not yet come to know him. Well, if we feel like that, well, actually, I should probably say when we feel like that, we can take heart. Jesus' call is to bear witness to repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So it's not just about telling people, it is also about showing in our own lives. We may not be able to change what's happened in the past, but forgiveness means we need no longer carry a burden of guilt and shame. We can start the next page in our chapter with a clean sheet. I wonder what you would like the next page in your chapter to say. How would you like to see God at work in your life? How would you like to serve him? Is there some part of the call to witness that you are struggling with right now? Let's just take a minute or so now to pray. Father, we praise you that your Son Jesus is seated at your right hand, that he reigns, and that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. We ask you for the power of your Spirit in our lives. Help us as we write the next chapter. Help us to hear you. Help us to be your witnesses. Help us to be part of the coming of your kingdom. Amen. Now, if it would be helpful to you, and because I like visual aids and things to remind me, you will find some small notebooks like this on the table at the back of church. Do feel free to take one. You might want to use it to note down how you've seen God at work, or what you'd like to see in the next chapter, or on the next page of your chapter. Or use it in any way that's helpful, right? Shopping list in it if you want to. But maybe just keep it around you for a while. Put it in your pocket or your bag, and when you see it, use it as a reminder that every day we write a paragraph in the chapter of God's acts through his people.